cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio as part of our panel is Safia Boulay of New Habits, Making Shift Happen.
Hi, Richard.
Nice to have you with us again.
Thanks.
Last week, we spoke to Ryan Tucker on how to develop and protect intellectual capital. Great podcast. Download that from our website at www.thefinanceteam.co.za. Today's theme, why do you need financial management in your business? Joining me in studio is our guest, Grant Robson, Managing Director of the Finance Team. Welcome, Grant.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have my business partner with me on the radio. So I've got my business going and it's growing. I've got myself a bookkeeper and maybe a debtor and creditors clerk, and they're managing all the cash that's coming into my business, the payments we are making. I'm in tip-top shape, aren't I, in terms of financial management? I've got it all under control.
Well, or not? I think that's what a lot of people generally think. But I think you need to make a distinction between financial management and bookkeepers and financial accountants. And there really is a big difference between the two.
I thought you guys were just doing that to confuse us.
No. I think that people just generally get confused between the distinction between the two of them.
Okay.
So, you know, a financial manager really is more of a manager. It's about being able to plan properly, direct people correctly, becomes critical in the financial management space. And I guess the day-to-day bookkeeping functions, debits and credits, is not really what a financial manager should be doing. I'm not saying that they don't do it on the odd occasion, but if your so-called financial manager is busy with the day-to-day debits and credits on the coalface, you're probably not getting a good value for money. A financial manager really should be looking at things like budgeting, forecasting, cash management, working capital management. I mean, on your show, I've heard a couple of your shows, so you've covered quite a few of these elements before. Capital budgeting exercises, what I do with my money going forward. These are the kind of things that a financial manager should be looking at, as opposed to your day-to-day debits and credits and financial accounting, bookkeeping services.
Okay.
So that, I guess the reality is, though, that I mean, how do I know as my business grows? Because I guess every business starts off small and then you add people. How do you know that it's time to make that step up to go, it's time to look for a financial manager and somebody to help me manage my finances, as opposed to, let me just call it, report or collect information about my financial affairs?
I think we found over the years, and we've been doing this now for about 8 years, a lot of CEOs, entrepreneurs of their own companies who aren't, you know, financially minded themselves, they end up doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So they take themselves out of the core function of what they're really good at, and they end up doing accounting work, and they end up doing admin work,
and they end up crying.
And end up crying, and it ends up costing them a lot more than if they'd really just employed the services of a really good financial manager. So they end up taking their skills away from the marketing and the sales element, things that they're really good at, things that got their company to where they are now, and they end up doing stuff that you could really outsource to people that are trained to do those elements in your business. I think, you know, looking at entrepreneurs as well, if they make one or two small mistakes here and there, they survive. They get through it. But they get to a stage where the size of the company and the size and the quantum of the decisions become that much more important. And they start realizing that, you know, I can't afford to make one or two mistakes anymore. That one mistake could actually sink the company.
Yeah. And I think the numbers attached to those decisions become so much larger.
I have a friend who once had a 250,000 rand VAT return outstanding.
So those sort of things, from a cash flow point of view, put your company, your working capital under pressure, your cash flow under pressure, and you could find yourself in a lot of trouble. So I think you find a lot of entrepreneurs get to that stage where their gut feel tells them, I'm doing the right thing, but I'm just not 100% sure. So let me get somebody in here who can take my finances to the next level. Number one, make sure that the information that I'm making my decisions on is correct. Yeah. But then probably more importantly, have I taken all the variables into account? in terms of all my income that I think is going to be coming in, my cash inflows, all my cash outflows, all my expenses. Mm. Do that properly, take everything into account, and then have a look at it and say, should I go ahead and do this? So I kind of call that putting financial science behind your gut feel. I think that's really, really important. And we find a lot of entrepreneurs that get in contact with the finance team, our business, a lot of them do so because they want to put that financial science behind their gut feel.
Yeah, they know that shooting from the hip, I guess, is literally guesswork.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases, yeah. And an assumption. And yeah, when it comes to the real crunch, if those facts aren't there, you may be left wanting.
Well, I remember 4 or 5 years ago, had a client turning over probably 700 million rand a year, which is a nice size company.
It started
that business out of the his garage at home. It was in the glass manufacturing business, and was in the process of going ahead and buying a brand new warehouse, a manufacturing warehouse with all the equipment and all the new people. And when we asked him, can we have a look at just your basic calculations? He said, no, I've done nothing. Absolutely nothing's been done. It's just a gut feel of mine. And he'd really gone probably 90% down the road in terms of making decisions to go ahead and buy all the equipment and go ahead and hadn't put any.
What was the total value of that investment?
Oh, just probably close to 100 million rand.
Wow.
Yeah.
100 million rand without even running a number. Wow.
And most of that 100 million rand was coming out of debt. It was going to be debt financed. Yeah.
Okay.
So, look, obviously, at some point in time, you'd have to put some numbers together to get the finance approved, etc. But as far as he was concerned, without even running one number, he was it was going to be a success no matter what.
Yeah.
So, look, you might have been right. You might have been wrong.
I guess to your earlier point of all you need is that one decision to go wrong.
That's it.
And your company's history.
That's it.
Absolutely history.
One bad decision can effectively sink your business.
So, Grant, for me I literally barely know, and I think there are many, many business owners out there who barely know the difference between an accountant, a bookkeeper, a financial accountant, a cost accountant, all these different kinds of accountants, and now you're throwing in a financial manager. How do I go about securing the services of a financial manager? I mean, I don't even know how to do a job description for it.
Well, look, I mean, I think number one, our business is all about the placement of part-time financial managers and financial directors. Mm. So I guess we've had 8 years of experience on knowing what to look for. I guess step number one is probably to get the right qualifications. There are a lot of people out there that are financial managers, but they do, from what I can see, they lack their technical ability. So watch out for that.
So that's exactly what I'm worried about, because I wouldn't know how to identify. Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why chartered accountants take 7 or 8 years to qualify.
Okay.
And need I say more? Whereas a bookkeeper, you could probably do a bookkeeping course in 6 months. It's like driving a city golf and a Ferrari, I guess. There's a big difference between the skill set that comes with that qualification.
So, Grant, I accept that. It's just for me, as a person who's not familiar with this, how do I go about shopping for it? Is credentials the only thing that I'm looking for?
Well, credentials, number one. For me, probably even more important than that is the experience that the individual's had. And, you know, when we look at CVs, we like to see people that have had experience the track records have gone for 3, 4, 5 years at each company. The reasons why people are moving from company to company also becomes very, very important element. You need to ask questions around that. Who do you go to? I guess, if you don't really know what to look for, there's recruitment companies out there, there's headhunters out there, there's companies like our company, the finance team, where we provide part-time and interim financial managers and financial directors to companies that can't afford somebody on a full-time basis. Can't afford is one element of it, but some companies just don't have the workflow to justify somebody 5 days a week. So they've got their their day-to-day accounting work sorted out, but they need somebody at that high level to come in and do things like, you know, the year ends and their budgeting and their forecasting, and they can come in one day a week or 2 days a week, five half days a week. So that's what our company specializes in, is the provision of those part-time executives.
Okay.
But besides that, if you want a full-time person, there are hundreds of recruitment companies out there that can probably help you on that. And they'll have a good idea on what this job spec is and the level of person that you would require.
Okay.
Mm. Now, I mean, Grant, you spoke there about, you know, experience, credentials, and people knowing what they're doing. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's critical that there's a good match between the person that you're relying on to help you make these key decisions and the, let's call it, the business itself, in terms of, I guess you could call it the culture of the business and the entrepreneurs involved. Because the reality is, if there's not high levels of trust with your financial manager, that's going to become a problem. I mean, how do you get fit to happen in these types of roles? Or is fit not important?
No, I think it's a critical element to your decision making as to who you bring on board. And that culture fit becomes very, very important. I would say roughly 60% of the match, but the candidates that we put forward to our clients is skill set, and about 40% of it is culture fit and EQ levels and just personality traits that are going to match with the culture that they're getting entrenched in. So when we go to our clients, a very important element of what we do when we sit down in front of the client is, number one, we chartered accountants, we've been financial managers, we've been financial directors, so we've got a good idea of what the requirement is. But way more important then becomes the question around, tell me more about yourself, Mr. CEO. Tell me more about yourself, Mr. CFO. Tell me more about your business. The kind of person that you want to come in here, what would you be looking for? So it's not always a question of skill set. Personality, culture fit becomes a critical element.
Mm. Now, when you get into that, let's call it the full-time type of employment environment, I guess that's as important. It would then strike me that getting the spec right and actually engaging the right type of person is a critical part of the recruitment process and shouldn't just be kind of, let's call it, fobbed off or outsourced to HR type of, you know, here HR department, here's my one pager, go out and find me my new financial manager. That would probably make that process pretty difficult for the HR recruiter to get that match right.
It would, and I think it's sometimes a bit unfair on HR managers. Mm. They're not trained professionals. Typically, they're not trained accountants, or they're not trained engineers. And then they're given a one pager to go and find the right level of skill.
Yeah, I think your point is valid. Yeah. It's not just accounting. It's engineering, IT, all of these elements are the same. That whole recruitment model seems to be fraught with how we set it up inside the organization.
Mm. I do think that the financial manager is a bit different because the money is part of the most intimate part. And the relationship between the CEO and the financial manager is very different.
Well, yeah, there's no coincidence that a lot of CFOs become CEOs of companies before that exact reason.
Yeah.
As a CFO, financial manager of a company, you do tend to get to know the company a lot better than probably your IT manager would, or even your HR manager would, because you know it's the nuts and bolts of that business, and you do tend to interact a lot with the CEO. And after a while, you become a trusted, you know, right hand man or woman to the CEO. Assuming that there's a fit.
Yeah,
I don't think you can underplay the importance of fit across across all types of recruit. Let's call it part time, interim, even you know full time. The fit is a critical part of what you do from the placement perspective.
That is, and I think just going back to if you looking at the your audience, entrepreneurs, right, young entrepreneurs, startup entrepreneurs. It's the finance side becomes such a critical element in their growth going forward, that don't skimp and scrape on on the finance element. Because we find that often, you know, get the cheapest and nastiest accountant out there,
cheap and nasty,
and it just ends up costing you so much more at the end because you're not getting information on time. When you do get the information, it's not accurate. So you start making decisions based on the wrong information. Those decisions start costing you a lot of money. So just keep that in mind. The financial side is going to become really critical. When you go to funders, they want to know, is your information accurate? Is it correct? Who's been preparing the information? They take that all into consideration before they even think about loaning you any kind of funds. So don't skimp and scrape on the financial element in your business.
Now, I mean, in line with that about skimping and scraping, I mean, at the end of the day, costs of financial management are also high. I mean, let's be honest. Your qualified financial manager, who's perhaps a CA or the equivalent, they've been around a while. They've studied, as you indicated, for a long period of time, and so this is not a resource that's going to come to you, you know, let's call it on the cheap. Is it worth? I mean, you've said don't skimp and scrape. You know, what should you be, I mean, and let's not get into specifics of numbers, but if you want to bring in a financial manager into your business, it's going to cost you. What should you be looking to pay that person? What how do you manage that cost? What are your options around managing that cost? Because it is a fairly significant cost, let's be honest.
So I think you're right. It is very expensive, and I don't think you need to have a financial manager from day one in your business. I think that you need to make a conscious decision as to at what point in time are you actually going to need a financial manager. So just looking at numbers, I think newly qualified CAs now, just generally speaking, in Johannesburg, newly qualified, shout out of articles, somewhere around 500 to 600,000 rand per annum, which is a big number for a small company.
And let's make it clear, that's with no experience, basically, outside of auditing. So, you know, they're arriving green in your business.
And then, you know, that can go up to senior financial managers of over 1 million rand a year. Financial directors are looking at over 1.5 million rand a year. So, you know, there are very few smaller startup companies that can really afford that that kind of a skill. So I'm not saying that you have to go and get a Ferrari from day one. When you're starting out, you can probably get away with solid bookkeeping skills. So as long as you're getting accurate information and it's coming through on a monthly basis, your trial balances, and you've got a good grasp on the numbers, it'll probably do you well for the first year or two. But when your company starts getting a bit more complex, and also also depends on what kind of business you're running. Manufacturing companies do tend to take more skill to run. You've got overheads that have to be allocated. There's things like, you know, costing methodologies that have to be implemented. The more people that you employ, there's going to be more complications and intricacies. So it's a difficult one to answer. When do you have to have a financial manager? It's difficult. But I guess as an entrepreneur, spend as much as you can afford on a good financial person. I think that's the first thing. Spend as much as you can afford, and it's at a certain point where you feel that you are losing control over the finance in your company, or you're not getting the information you require, then look at stepping up and employing a more permanent financial manager. Or you could always approach a company like ours, where we can provide you with a part-time financial executive.
Now, I mean, what other insights can you give us into that world of financial management that are key, you know, drivers of this environment? I mean, what are the other considerations? We've talked about experience, cost, you know, bringing people on. I mean, one of the concerns, obviously, is if you've engaged somebody like this in a permanent role and your company is not at the right sort of level, you're going to find people that are bored. And they're not going to find it stimulating and challenging, and they then potentially going to move on. So you're going to go through this whole process of onboarding somebody, recruiting somebody, and then they go, well, I'm bored after 18 months because this isn't really a challenge for me, so I'm going to move on. So you know, how do you engage a financial person? It's a bit of a strange animal to try and engage.
I guess it boils down to making sure you make the right decision up front. Mm. If you end up in that environment, chances are that individual is going to move on to greener pastures. And all you've done then is if you've just gone and spent a year, 18 months training somebody up who's then going to take that skill and employ it somewhere else. So, you know, you've got to make sure that from day one that the person you've brought on board is the right person for that particular space and time in your growth of your business. Mm. I don't know if I've answered your question.
No.
And to me as well, I mean, like you mentioned early on, if you're in a manufacturing environment, take more skills. Would I need to recruit a financial manager based on the industry he or she has been in over time?
I always think it's preferable,
okay.
But I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker. You must understand somebody who's done the articles, they've studied for 7 years, they've got a very good broad understanding of accounting, all right? And we find that often that we'll bring on somebody who's had broad experience and we can actually slot them into a lot of different industries. But there are some industries that I wouldn't suggest putting somebody in who hasn't had the right kind of experience. So kind of manufacturing, FMCG, for example, very good mining. There are certain industries that you would want somebody who's had particular industry experience, you'd want them in there.
Okay.
But it's not critical.
Okay.
Yeah. A good accountant is a good accountant, and that comes from experience. And again, you know, somebody who can read a balance sheet correctly, and when they're looking at income statements and looking at trends and margins, cash flow projections, they can get that right, and the accuracy of that right, that becomes way more important.
Mm. Yeah. Now, you know, if you were to sit back and say, where do you see financial management and the, let's call it the discipline of financial management moving to, you know, let's call it across a period of time. I mean, is the role of financial management going to be here forever? Is this a key role, or is this a role that over time is changing and is going to become less important in business? I mean, we've seen the world change. You know, the days of let's call it the traditional accountant, because they had the, let's call it, the total knowledge, and now you've now got systems and processes that can basically step into the recording function on an accounting side of things. Is the role of that financial manager, where does it move to into the future? How do I future proof my financial management in my business?
Well, I guess that's like asking, are you going to need heart surgeons in the future? I mean, I've in the last 8 years, all I've seen is an increased need for good financially trained people.
Yeah.
And if you look at the statistics, South Africa is crying out. There's a lack of skill in the accounting profession. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, it's only going to become more and more important. Mm. The fact that we've got, you know, more complicated and more sophisticated ERP systems out there. From what we've seen, if you don't have good people that are operating the systems and putting the data in and pulling the data out, they're worthless. It's not like a manufacturing plant at Toyota that can mechanize everything. You still need good people and well-trained people to run those systems.
Yeah, well, I think your earlier comment about, you know, the need for heart surgeons. The reality is it is moving, I guess, what you're saying, to that area of specialism and speciality around knowledge base and the ability to transfer knowledge to that business owner out there to actually help them and guide them and support them and become a true partner to the business, as opposed to just my accountant who sits in the back and produces a set of numbers that I don't understand. And, you know, it's actually about helping the business move forward.
It's a real value-adding service these days. I mean, you look at our associates that go out there that don't just prepare balance sheets and income statements and cash flows.
Mm.
They get involved in all kinds of other issues, corporate finance, HR, IT. So it's become a multi a disciplined environment being a financial manager. It's not just debits and credits anymore.
Yeah, you're expecting more of a, let's call it a
all-rounder
general business acumen rather than just the pure specialist who's going to say yes, no, yes, no.
It's like a strategist.
Yeah, well, like... and I think understanding the business strategy actually translates really well into so what's happening, because there's a finance strategy that sits behind the business as well.
Yeah, but even the business strategy rests on the finance strategy, or they're deeply intertwined.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say they're deeply intertwined. You can't have one without without the other.
And the numbers are
critical.
You also need a strong individual to rein in some of these entrepreneurs out there who are, you know, they're entrepreneurs for a reason, right? Yeah. They're out there,
they didn't cut in the lines.
They don't want to hear no for an answer. And they need someone who can turn around and go, well, hang on a second, before we do that, can we just check a couple of numbers before you pull the trigger on that?
Can we run the numbers before you commit to 100 million rand warehouse investment without even checking the facts? Okay, well... I think that's what been well said. The importance of financial management in your business cannot be understated. Grant, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate your insight.
Thanks for having me. Thanks,
Richard. Thanks for joining us. Next up is our business conversation. Stay with us. Cliffcentral.com.